Join me in prayer, please. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O God. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Rebecca Stowers is one of my favorite people in this church. She gave me a book by A.W. Tauzer called The Pursuit of God. She said it's the best book she's ever read. One of the chapter titles is Removing the Veil. Tauzer writes this: God made us for himself. This is the only explanation that satisfies the heart of a thinking person. He meant for us to see him and live with him and draw our life from his smile. The presence of God is the central fact of Christianity. Wherever we turn, there is Jesus. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end of everything to us. Therefore, says Tauzer, we are thirsty. We are always thirsty for God. For A.W. Tauzer, then, our goal throughout life in prayer, in communion with God, is to lift the veil of our fleshly fallen nature, our carefully and closely woven veil that we have knit all around us, which hides the face of God from us. We lift the veil through prayer. In our prayer lives, we do this when we seek agreement with God, who creates us with a thirst for himself. Our prayer is our drink of living water. You may remember last week I said it is important for Christians to communicate with each other in a win-win situation. Why seek agreement with God in prayer? That creates mutual safety and respect, where each of us gets something we want, according to authors Ronald Shapiro and Mark Janikowski. Here, seeking to agree with God in prayer, it is a win-win situation. We seek God's face, God's will for us. We want to know why God made us. And God receives intimacy with us. In the Gospels, Jesus calls this asking for something according to his name and according to his will. Tauzer calls it restoring the creator-creature relationship. I have mentioned Dr. David C. Jacobson's book from my seminary days, Clarity in Prayer, Telling the Small T Truth. Jacobson devotes one section of his book to this topic. Jacobson says, creating agreement is necessary for the real and vital communion between souls. It is invisible and spiritual, so deeply buried. It takes us to depths of sharing and oneness we never imagine otherwise. Between lovers, between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between two people in the church who are very close to each other. Some of you know that I had to go to Oklahoma City this week. My dear 88-year-old friend, Dorothy Hyatt, in the years that I lived in New Mexico, she and her husband were like substitute parents. I was one of her children. She had a minor stroke. She's in a rehabilitation home. She does not want to do her occupational therapy. She refuses to eat or drink. Everything tastes like grit. She told me, Dave, I feel dead. Dorothy has a desire to die. She wants to go and be with her husband of 53 years who died several years ago, and I buried him also. To have her ashes spread over a high mountain meadow back at a lake near Ruidoso, New Mexico. Both Dorothy and Paul loved New Mexico. It was home for them for so long. So I was called by two of her daughters, one who lives in North Little Rock, and asked if I would go see her this week. Maybe I could do something to spark her will to live. So after getting to Oklahoma City and visiting with her 2 days, as I talked it over with Dorothy's youngest daughter, whose wedding I also presided over, it became then a matter of finding agreement in the family. Giving permission for their mother to die, telling her it's okay, and making sure that permission is understood as a gift of loving surrender, loving submission to God, and calling in hospice. For Jacobson, the possibility of any kind of intercessory prayer, praying for someone else, interceding before God because of your love for that other person, is based on this deep prayer communion, seeking agreement with God. In our Lord's Prayer today, one of the petitions that you and I have memorized and we repeat every Sunday without thinking of it is, "Thy will be done." Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But you know, there's great resistance by you and me to such a prayer. You and I do not want to be controlled by anyone else. We must be in charge of our own lives. We don't want to listen. We want to tell it the way we see it. And we pray our prayer from our point of view. Our prayers on Sunday morning is called the prayers of God's people. We tell God the way it is. We inform God. Have you ever prayed, or has your minister ever led you on Sunday morning with these words? "Almighty God, today in our prayer, let it be only your thought we thank, only your desire we ask. Lift the veil from our prayers in the flesh, in which we ask from our own selfishness." Agreement in prayer with God may only happen when two persons hold the same idea with the same intensity, at the same time, with the same purpose or goal. And as though each of you thought of it yourself. But here, it is only God who holds the idea, and then God embeds it deep within us. So, what do you think will be God's answer when you seek agreement with God in prayer? Have you ever tried that before? God, let me agree with you. First of all, it means that I come to prayer with less rigid expectations about how God is going to answer my prayers. It means God only starts answering my prayers when I stop talking and I start listening. Let God do the speaking. God in Matthew promises, wherever two or three on earth agree on anything concerning what they ask, it will be done for them. What we bind, what we loose here in the church. It means, secondly, even though God may delay or give me a different answer, I know and confess there is still agreement between me and God. It means, third, I have yielded. I have surrendered to God. Like Jesus saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Fourth, I have made a commitment to see it God's way. Fifth, it's an agreement about intention, purpose, which is mutual. And finally, sixth, most importantly, I understand that God has made me for himself. The basis of all prayer starts with knowing that God has made you for himself. Understanding how God loves and cares for you each so deeply. In this way, I will understand myself more clearly and my own purpose in life. Why did God make me for himself? Why am I thirsty for him? Recap. Let me recap these six for you. One, I come to prayer with less rigid expectations. I start listening before I talk. Two, there's still agreement, even when God answers his own way. Three, I have yielded to God. Four, I am committed to see it God's way. Five, I agree with God about the intention or purpose of my prayer. Six, I understand God made me for himself. The writer of the 139th Psalm has put all of this so much more eloquently. Listen, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, for you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wondrously made. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Then lead me in the way everlasting. Dr. Jacobson says, agreement with God in prayer is the highest form of prayer there is. It's the basis for all other prayer. Jesus promises in that chapter in Matthew that not only where two or three of us agree on anything we ask, will it be done for them in Christ's name, but also where two or three gather in his name, I am there in the midst of you. This closing prayer I also found in Tozier's book, The Pursuit of God. Let us pray. Lord, I would trust you completely. I would be altogether yours. I would exalt you above all. I desire that I may feel no sense of possessing anything outside of you. I want constantly to be aware of your overshadowing presence and to hear your speaking voice and every act of my life, that it may be an act of worship, that I may perfectly love you and worthily praise you. And all this I confidently believe you will give me through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.